And friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar to learn more about how we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today. Just a few announcements as we get started this morning. This being Pentecost Sunday, you will see some information in your bulletin regarding the Pentecost offering. And just a reminder, though it doesn't quite feel like it this morning, summer is around the corner, and we are looking for summer musicians to offer their gifts in worship. There's a sign up on the kiosk. Anne Marie and Osmond Sim ask that I announce that they will be participating this morning in the Southwest Ecumenical Ministries, the SWEM Walk. And if you'd like to sponsor them, they are here in church this morning. And they will be walking what looks like a little bit in the drizzle to help raise money for our local food cupboard. And don't forget, June 3rd is Children and Youth Sunday, where we'll also be celebrating our high school graduates. So please join us. All right, a few announcements. Go for it.
Good morning. Marty Oman. Just a quick thank you to the folks who showed up yesterday for the spring cleanup here at GPC. Despite the weather, we got a lot done and only have a few nice weather items left to get to. And thanks also to the group of Boy Scouts who came out to assist with our efforts, who, as it turns out, are equally adept at cleaning up piles of sticks, scraping our storage sheds, and taking care of glazed donuts. So we really appreciated all the help. Thank you.
Hope this is big enough so everyone can see it. This is a yard sign. There's several in the back of the narthex. Please take one and put it in your yard, or especially if you're near an intersection with high visibility or you know a place with high visibility, please put one up for us. Also, plants, perennials. We're looking for perennials that you can donate. Those should be to church about June 1st or the 2nd. This Friday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be moving the bookcases out of the shed and into the fellowship hall. We still need some bodies for that. Fortunately, Tom Ward has agreed to lend me his truck. Unfortunately, he wants it back. So. Go figure. I thought it was a donation, Tom. And finally, on June 1st is our big setup day at 9 o'clock inside and 10 o'clock outside. There's plenty of space on the volunteer list, so please take a look. Anything you can help us with, we'd appreciate it. This is a community effort, so anything you can do, please do so. Thank you.
Good morning and buenos dias. A couple of announcements. First of all, a big thank you to everyone who supported the Guatemala Partners Flower and Vegetable Sale. It looks like the final tally isn't in, but we raised about $2,500 for our mission in Guatemala, so thank you all very much for your support. Second of all, there are some vegetables that are left over outside of the on the sidewalk there, so if you like peppers, please take a plant home with you and give it a good home. If you'd like to make a donation, there's a basket there to receive that. And then, I'm kind of glad that it's kind of cloudy and overcast today, so you don't have to rush right off to your family picnics or what have you. We are going to be doing a second hour presentation on our most recent trip to Guatemala in March. So please join us in the adult lounge right after the service. Thank you.
And our last announcement this morning is great news that very soon you will have the opportunity to meet GPC's new Director of Youth, Children, and Young Adult Ministries. Her name is Pamela Dayton, and she is will be this fall a senior at Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School. She looks forward to graduating from there with her Master's in Divinity next May. You'll have a chance to meet Pamela when she returns back. She is currently in Taizé, France, as she is finishing her seminary internship with Asbury Methodist. So you'll have a chance to meet her on June 3rd. She'll be in the office the week before. Just a reminder that Pamela will be with us in worship 3 Sundays out of the month, and we are so glad that she will also be on the summer youth work projects, both the junior high and senior high. So a big thanks to Keith Hadley and Beth Molina as part of the interview team and also the personnel committee and session and many others who provided input. We'll be very glad to welcome Pamela here in just a few weeks. And what a great joy it is to be fully staffed before the time of renewal begins. I'm glad you had a chance to meet David Kilgore, our renewal temporary pastor, last Sunday. And please, just a reminder, I know folks have been asking about when they can meet our new office manager, Karen. So part of her job description does not include being with us on Sunday mornings. If you're excited to meet her, you are more than welcome to stop in the office anytime between Tuesday and Friday, 9 to 2, and say hello. She'd love to start putting some of those faces and names together. So what a great joy it is to welcome all these great and new folks to our church family. But now, folks, as the Holy Spirit moves in and through this space, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Something was happening. The whole church was in one place, all together. There was a rush of wind. Each voice spoke another language. What was happening? Holy Spirit was given. Come, let us worship God.
would invite you at this time to remain seated as we proclaim the goodness, the Spirit moving through us, and those places where we experience brokenness as we sing and speak together the prayer of confession and words of assurance. Beginnings. You created this earth and all that is in it, and we are not faithful stewards of what you have given us. You called us to care for your creation, and our lives are lived in ways that ignore that call. You called us through the power of your Holy Spirit to open our eyes from the slumber of denial about our actions and fly to new heights with your power. And we ignored your request. Worshipped those things that are not holy. We worship money and power, self-sufficiency, technology, power, and fame. We ignored the prophets you sent who told us to worship only you. We still ignore the voices that try to pull us to you and away from sin. Jesus came to redeem us, to bring us back into the right relationship with you. He came as a baby, and as an adult gave us your teachings. He was born in a stable, died on a cross, and rose to new life. In you, in Christ, we are made right with you, and we are forgiven. inspired us to move forward as the forgiven people of Christ who we are. We pray that inspired by your Spirit, we may live a different kind of life than we may have otherwise. That through the breath of your Spirit, we may respond to the call to repent, to return to you. Through the Spirit, may we see the visions and dreams and live the lives as God's forgiven that Christ calls us to live. You call from tomorrow, you bring ancient scenes from the bondage of sorrow, the captive's dream dreams. Our wounded seditions are left in your eyes. Now, at this time, the children are invited to come forward. I made it.
Which means what?
Stop.
Yep, and what did the green light mean?
It meant go.
Oh, you're right. There is something. We didn't give you a warning. Sorry about that.
But what does this look like? Has anyone seen this? The traffic light, that's right. It's a sign that we see every day that helps people know what to do, right? What to do when to...
Sometimes they can be sideways. Yes, that is true. If the traffic light don't work, cars will crash. You got it. At a regular intersection, which would use what? What's the sign? A stop sign. That means that you stop, right? No peeking.
How about this one? What does it tell you?
It's a walk sign. It tells you when it's safe to walk across the street. What about this one? Street sign. What street is that?
That's in the street.
You are very knowledgeable about our traffic laws. Yes, thank you. All right, how about this one? Railroad crossing. Watch out for those trains. Last one. Anyone know what this one is? Duck, duck crossing. So it means slow down and watch out for ducks, right? So all of these signs help people know what to do. So this is a sign we use in the church sometimes. Does anyone know what this sign means? It's the fire we're talking about today. It's the Holy Spirit. That's right. Sometimes this is a sign we use to show the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was actually a sign that was sent by God to help the disciples know what to do. They were all in a room, and they were all by themselves, and they were all scared and confused because they were all alone. So God sent them the Holy Spirit down as a sign. It was on their heads or their shoulders. Yep, heads, shoulders, knees, and toes. Okay. So the Holy Spirit was God's sign to tell the disciples what he wanted them to do. Do you know what he wanted them to do? You ready? Go out and tell everybody everything that they knew about Jesus and the church. So the Holy Spirit was God's sign to the disciples. I think we have a runaway. Let the disciples know what he wanted them to do. And the Holy Spirit is in our lives, too, to show us the way as well.
Let's end with a prayer. Say after me.
Dear God,
thank you
for sending us the Holy Spirit to show us what you want us to do. Amen.
Our first reading is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 21. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like thrush from a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in another language as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters and shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second reading for today comes from the words of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very, very dry. The Lord said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling. Bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' And I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will end. Thus says the Lord." So, there is something that must be in our DNA. That as a parent, when your child reaches a certain age, for some reason you want to share all your favorite movies from your childhood with them, right? So, lucky for my parents and for me, when I was a kid, that included a whole host of Disney movies. This came out in the early 50s. Alice in Wonderland. And not so lucky for parents of my generation now, it means that we learn the hard way that there is a very big difference between the edited movies that we watched on TV as kids to the unedited versions that when you rent them from a movie store, they are now rated PG-13. So that designation did not exist when I was a kid. So all those silly movies full of bathroom humor that passed for funny when I was a junior high kid in the 80s also has a lot of swearing, violence, and partial nudity that, well, I get a little uncomfortable showing my kids. But they, of course, will remind me, "Mom, you know we hear a lot worse on the news and the bus." Yeah, I do know. So I didn't let better judgment get in the way of sharing with them the all-time classic story of a group of friends who find a treasure map leading to a lost pirate ship of the One-Eyed Willie. Yes, the movie I am talking about, one I was talking with a church member not long ago about, Goonies. I spent a lot of my own childhood imagining my own version of hopping on my bike with a group of friends desperate to discover lost treasure hiding in my own town. But I'll tell you, at that age, I also connected with the deeper realities of this movie. Yes, there are some when you get past the bathroom humor and bad language. There were these misfit friends surrounded by fear of losing every bit of security and stability in their lives. The end of life as these young kids knew it, because Mikey and Brandon's dad lost his job and they were facing eviction from their home. It's no coincidence that at the end of the movie, the kids find the second chance they've been looking for in the bowels of an abandoned ship in a room full of treasures taken from dead pirates. Skeletons, bones all around, people who once lived and breathed, but who were now reduced to dry bones. Scripture text this morning contains this unmistakable metaphor, arguably one of the most powerful in the Bible and depicted in movies, even silly ones from the 80s, but also in paintings and music and theater and film countless times over. Course of human history repeating that question that God raised to the prophet Ezekiel in the valley. Can these bones live? The valley of life had been upended for Ezekiel and the Israelite people. And for as far as the eye can see, all they know in their hearts and in their lives are the signs of death and loss and suffering. And all the prophet Ezekiel knew was that the realities of oppression and violence and greed were as numerous as the bones. And in response to what the Babylonians perceived as Israelite uprisings and threats to their power, the Babylonian armies invaded Jerusalem, deported the kings and religious leaders, and would later raise the temple and displace all the people who drew meaning, identity, and assurance of God's presence with them. But this was about more than just the physical and emotional suffering. This was about the end of life, faith and hope as they knew it to be, as they believed that God promised it would be. And so looking around at the vast, barren, lifeless landscape of a essentially today what would be considered a refugee camp. God turns to the prophet and asks, can these bones live? A call for Ezekiel's response. It was Facebook this morning that reminded me 1 year ago today, I stood in the streets of the old city in Jerusalem, that I had the opportunity to witness the horror of refugee camps in East Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, and regions of the West Bank. My heart aches for the Palestinian people currently facing this reality and this very question. The literal bones of their loved ones in Gaza are being buried as the world watches and decides which of those deaths are justified. I don't know how a religious leader of any faith tradition could possibly respond to this question and offer words of comfort and hope without them sounding hollow and shallow. So I certainly do not envy Ezekiel when he is called upon to answer, can these bones live? When there are certainly more questions than answers, and words are just making it worse. Ezekiel, being a prophet much wiser and courageous than I, responds, oh, Lord God, you know, God does know. This is a response that shifts from what I or you, what we would know, what we think we might know that are easy answers, and shifts that attention right back to God. Lord God, you know. The response that the Reverend Grace in Matthew says that the Lord God, let's not work from what I know. Let's work from what you know. Because Lord God, you know. And I want to walk by faith in what you know, not by my sight. And Lord God, you know. So whether these bones can live, Lord God, you know. God does know, the God of Israel, the God who created the world and all that is in it, who brought a people to birth from a childless couple in Haran, who freed their descendants from living in the death of slavery in Egypt, and entered into covenant with them again and again, who raised judges and kings and prophets, calling them back to life again and again, even when they chose death. Lord God, you know. God knows to speak a message of life. Death, of power in the midst of corruption, of truth in the face of blatant lies. God would need to send God's very self to be born of a young Palestinian girl from such a nondescript place such as Nazareth, whose parents would flee as refugees to escape the violent ruling political leaders. God does know that living under the constant threats of occupation and fear, hatred, those circumstances would not lend themselves easily to work for peace and practicing love and working for justice. God does know that those very acts would bring threats upon Jesus' life and eventually lead to his death on a cross. Friends, God does know. God knows that Jesus' birth and life and death would still still not be enough. So that God would go to the valley of death and breathe life into what should never, ever live again. So that hope would never be cut off. So that we would never be cut off from God's love. The grave was opened and the ways of life were made known. Says the Lord, and we hear in those words promise that only God can give. And what a message on this Pentecost Sunday when we hear that God's breath enters into our very being. God's Spirit is within each and every one of us. So that we may live. That this same breath breathed into Christ crucified, living in him, again in resurrected life, and touches us when the Spirit came upon each of us in our baptism, continues to move in us today. This breath moves through the world, raising people, all God's people, new life when all the odds are against it, and even when we have dug those graves for ourselves. We need to know that this Pentecost imagination of heart and mind, and perhaps even more importantly, to touch and to feel and to hear and smell and even taste God's promises of life, His promise of new life, friends, needs to be felt deep in our bones, so that when we are gasping for breath and struggling to stay alive, it burns within our hearts and reminds us that it is not only part of who we are, it is whose we are. Friends, God knows. And so may we. Amen. Spirit moves in and through this place, we also gather together our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. If you have one you'd like to share aloud, raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone over. Let us know who you are and what prayer you'd like to share this day.
Christine Cook, I want to thank everyone for their prayers for my mother-in-law, Ernestine Richardson. She finally went home on Friday and is feeling much, much better, but I really appreciate all the prayers.
Good. Continued prayers for your mother-in-law, though, Christine, as she heals at home.
Debbie DeCero, last Sunday I thank you for prayers for my Aunt Margaret, who the results were good. We got home from church, and she has been put in the hospital. And they're still trying to figure out what is going on. So prayers for my Aunt Margaret. Thank you.
Continued prayers for your Aunt Margaret.
I would like to ask for prayers for the students, the teachers, and all the people of the Santa Fe High School who have suffered and we've suffered another mass murder in this country.
Prayers for the community in Santa Fe, Texas, throughout this nation as we continue to grieve the losses.
Amy, this is not a prayer. This is a thank you to our choir. They are small in number, but great in volume, and every Sunday, faithfully, they are here to give us joy to our service. Thank you.
Amen. Prayers of thank you are prayers.
Jenny Barley, continued prayers for Elaine Owlett. As she continues to recover from her surgery.
Prayers for Elaine Owlett in her recovery from surgery. One over here. Oh, and one up front.
Christy Stewart, a joy. Andrea Unson was once again elected to our school board, and it's always wonderful to have people of faith involved in government.
Thanks be to God. Congratulations, Andrea.
Katie Steinmiller, I just prayer of joy and thankfulness. Jared and I are first-time home buyers, so we just moved in this month. So.
Amen. Thanks be to God for first-time homes.
I'd just like to piggyback on what Sue Mancini said, that we are extremely blessed to have Chris Ullman, who is as gifted a director as she is an accompanist.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Chris. The second round of applause for you this week. All right, let us continue our time of prayer. Hear our prayers, God of power and love. You came in like a rushing wind with your spirit, and you changed us. We have been inspired, we have been called, and we have been gifted. We see visions and dream dreams. You call us into action and service. Your love is what saves us and what brought life to the church. Help us to continue to show that love, that we may be a conduit of your life-giving power in dry and dead places. God, stir us with your breath to stir others and send your spirit to the places it is most needed. Breathe love into empty places and blow us in a new direction. As your disciples, O God, we raise in prayer these words for all who suffer, especially this morning, the community in Santa Fe, Texas. God, we know our thoughts and prayers are not enough. Guide our actions, our ways of life, to make our schools and streets and this nation a safer place for all your children. And in your loving breath, we pray for the pain and suffering throughout this world. We pray for an end to violence in Palestine and Israel, for the families mourning the loss of loved ones in Cuba. Hear our prayers for renewal that comes from you, Holy One. Renew our spirits. To renew others, heal our hurts, so we may heal others, and restore our weariness, so we may restore others. May the power of Pentecost inspire us always. This we ask in the name of Jesus, He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And let that Spirit continue to blow as we offer back to God a portion of the abundance God has entrusted us with. Let us continue our time of worship with the morning offering.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you've been good to us. Supply our daily needs. You drive sickness out of our bodies. You protect us from harm, danger, and injury. Father, I accept the offering that we bring to you in gratitude for your goodness to us. Grant us the wisdom to use it well, the courage and the boldness to speak your word with power so that people throughout the world may know and serve you. Amen.
Thank you.
think we take our cue from our youngest disciples that when charged to go out in the world, we find this nearest exit and run. Go! Friends, go out into the world because God's love surrounds you. And the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ is in and through each and every one of you. And the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes to go out into the world is with you. Go now and love this world fiercely, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.